Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 133 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. I have to admit that right now I'm recording this sitting outside in Orlando, Florida. I was here for this is my 10th day here. I've been here for over a week working an event. I think most people know I do some contract event planning on the side. In another life, I was an event planner and traveled all the time. But after kids have kind of changed that schedule a bit, but I still do this contract work. And this is a client that I love. And I've been in Orlando for 10 days working really, really hard. So I'm pretty tired today. Today is Monday, February 28th, and this is going to post on the 2nd. So I just wanted to make sure that I got it done. So here I am kind of multitasking at the best, but I didn't want to miss out on the sunshine. So I'm sitting outside. So I apologize for any background noise, just because I wanted to feel the sunshine one more day. Since looking at my weather back home in Portland, it looks pretty rainy all week. We have some kind of storm coming through, so it's going to be pretty gray and rainy, which is really hard to imagine right now as I'm sitting out in the sunshine in my shorts and t-shirt. So soaking it in while I record this episode. So thank you for being with me here. I wanted to just to touch base and say, for anyone signed up for my newsletter, I'm not doing a newsletter this month. I'm so sorry. For people that don't know, I usually send out a monthly newsletter at the beginning of each month. And, with traveling, I had two events kind of pretty close together, which is unusual for me, but I just did not have the time this month to do a newsletter. So please forgive me. But typically I have some kind of theme for the month. And then I also talk about the podcast episodes that I have for that month. So I'll do that here today in this episode instead. But if you were looking for the newsletter, no, you're not missing anything. I just did not have the time to do it. So thank you for understanding. And I also wanted to do a last call for my Breaking Free coaching program. It's new and improved. It's gone from 7 weeks to 10 weeks now after feedback from my first two groups. It is starting on Monday, March 7th, and it lasts for 10 weeks. And there'll be weekly Zoom calls at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So whatever that is in your time, it's about hour and a half calls. You'll have accountability buddies for daily check-ins. There's all kinds of material topics and information that you'll get that we'll discuss. But really what I hear from people time and time again, even more than the content, is the actual community that they get with doing this with another group of people. And getting to hear, you know, typically with our Zoom meetings, everyone's just kind of sharing what's going on for them. We're offering support where it's needed and just answering any questions that are coming up kind of each week as we go through this process together. So it's really, really powerful doing this in a group setting. And that's always the top feedback that I hear, is just how amazing it is talking to other people that understand it and are going through it as well. And again, I want to welcome you, even if you have already given up sugar, if you still just want some support. We usually have people that are in various stages. Some people that start with the program giving up sugar and flour, other people that have been doing it for weeks or even months and are just looking for that extra support. So that's been really fun too, to kind of get a glimpse of people at different different places in their journey. It's just been really, really helpful and motivating and inspiring for the group as a whole. So if you're interested, again, it starts March 7th. You can sign up for it on my website. There's more information under the group coaching page, and it goes for 10 weeks. I will offer another session as well. At some point, I'll let everyone know once I'm ready to do, you know, the next session, because I'm just really getting so much out of this and would like to try to do 2 or even 3 of these a year, depending on demand, really, depending on when people want to do this. So that's Breaking Free. The other group coaching program that I created, I'm really excited about for people that say, you know, look, I can't commit to a 10 weeks, or they're not quite ready for that, or they just need some support, but not necessarily that week-to-week basis. So I started something called First Fridays, where the first Friday of the month, I'll be doing an hour and a half Zoom coaching call. So the first Friday of this month is Friday the 4th. Again, that will be at that 9 a.m. Pacific time, whatever that is where you are in your time zone. And again, about an hour and a half, and it's just open to anybody. If you've been a part of my coaching program in the past, great. If you haven't, that's okay too. If you have a friend or family member that you think might be interested and is just looking for a little support or information, this is a really great place to start. Its cost is only $25, and you can sign up for that as well on my website. If you go underneath Book Online and the group coaching, you'll see the Breaking Free or First Friday option. So you can sign up for them on a one-on-one basis, but you can just look at the calendar, and it's always the first Friday of the month. So that's a really, really great resource for people, and a great way just for those to stay connected. I'm really excited about it because, again, I get so much out of these coaching calls, and I'm constantly inspired by people. So I want to make sure that I was kind of offering this as well for people for that additional support. If you have any questions about either of those programs, the Breaking Free or First Fridays, please reach out to me. My website is unsweetensayo.com. Email is siobhan@unsweetensayo.com. You can also contact me through my website. So love hearing from you all, and would love to help in any way that I can. So that's all of the group coaching stuff. Let's talk about a little bit about the upcoming March podcast. I feel like I'm getting all my housekeeping notes out of the way here in the beginning. Today, obviously, is me. Hi. I'm going to be talking about my theme kind of this month was motivational March and how do we stay motivated. So I'm going to be talking about that here. March 9th, next week, I'll have Danielle Dame back on. I'll link her other interview too, to her session where she tells her story more. But a lot of you are probably familiar with her from the Kick Sugar Summit. And she's going to be sharing how you can stay sugar-free and limiting beliefs and self-sabotage that might get in the way with keeping you being sugar-free and enjoying that lifestyle. So tune in for that one. March 16th, I have Edie Fox, who's going to be talking about the carnivore diet. I've had a couple people reach out to me and ask for some more information about the carnivore diet. So we had Greg Emmerich on last week, which was amazing. He touched on that and Lyme disease. If you didn't listen to that episode, please listen to it. I learned so much. So I'm really excited to have Edie on to talk about carnivore diet and the work that she does. In March 23rd, I have Dr. Gary Fetke, Australian doctor, who some of you might know his story. He's been on the Quit Sugar, Kick Sugar summits. And in 2014, he became targeted by the processed food industry for his opinion on the perils of excessive sugar consumption. It culminated in him, you know, being removed, I think, by the medical board. So he's going to tell us a little bit more about that. Everything was reinstated and he was apologized to like 4 years later, but it's a really interesting story. So I'm really excited to have him on and really talk about, like, you know, the cover up kind of that's going on. So that's March 23rd. And then the end of the month, March 30th, kind of nice, we have 5 Wednesdays this month. I'm going to have Catherine and Danny Mullaney on, both sharing their stories of recovery. I've been trying to do at least one of those a month where people are sharing their own story of recovery, because I find that so motivating as far as jumping into this topic of how we stay motivated. I think this is a really good segue, is listening to other people's stories. So I've really thought about that this year when I was kind of thinking about this season on the podcast and what I hope to accomplish. I wanted to make sure I was getting some more recovery stories from people, because I think it's really, really helpful to everyone listening, because I'm sure there's components of their story that really resonate with you. And there might be something that they say that, you know, I didn't say, or someone else on my on the podcast hasn't said, or maybe someone just says it in a way that finally really clicks for you, right? So I think it's just so important for me to have this podcast as a resource to connect people, share information, but especially share these recovery stories, because they are so, so motivating. So really excited to have Catherine and Danny on at the end of the month. But let's talk a little bit more about, you know, how to stay motivated. I get a lot of people asking me that as well. Or, you know, when people hear that I don't eat sugar and flour, it's like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? I don't think I'd have the willpower to do that. I would never be that motivated. I mean, I hear so many different things. And what I always say is, you know, as an addict, willpower really doesn't even come into play. You know, it doesn't matter if you had all the willpower in the world. If you're addicted to a substance, willpower is powerless, right? So, and that's what happened whenever I tried to moderate in the past. So I would find some kind of, you know, diet that allowed, you know, sugar and flour in moderation, and I would try it. And maybe I could keep to it for a few weeks, be feeling really good and being like, okay, this time I'm gonna do it, I got it. And then sure enough, something would happen. I would end up having some kind of sugar or flour, and then would be like, oh, well, that went okay, so I'll have a little bit more and a little bit more. And then, you know, that just went into a disaster of just a complete binge, right? I wasn't able to ever eat it in moderation, to sustain moderation. So then I would be back in that complete binge cycle, feeling so ashamed of myself, feeling just so low and awful, just that self-loathing, you know, of, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stick to anything? Why don't I have enough willpower? And until I really understood that this is an addiction, just like alcohol or drugs, any other kind of addiction, you know, it's not about willpower. It's really about our brain chemistry and the way that our brains are wired. So even if we get a little bit, that little hit is just going to make us want more and more and more and more. So for me, willpower really doesn't play into this at all. Once I was able to completely abstain from the foods, sugar and flour for me, that were triggering me. And then there is no, I don't even have to worry about willpower. It's just so much easier being able to abstain than it ever was just trying to moderate. So I really want to bring that up as far as willpower. But with motivation, I think, yeah, it's really important to stay motivated. You know, for me, being sugar and flour free for 4 years, I love the way I feel. So that's a really big motivation. I can pretty easily still think back to how it felt when I was addicted. and worried every day about what I was going to eat or not eat, and just that obsessive cycle that I was caught in, how much time and energy thinking about food took up in my day. I just don't want to go back there, you know, so that's really motivating. And especially, you know, even in the beginning, the more days I got under my belt, I use that as motivation too. Well, I'm on day 10. I don't want to start all over again. I'm on day 15, day 20, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. The more time I got behind me and the more progress I made, I really didn't want to, mess that up. So that was one way to stay motivated, was just to think about the progress that I've made so far and remembering what it felt like before. So in my coaching program, we always kind of work on this. And one of the first things that we do is really dig into your why. And you'll hear a lot of sugar coaches talking about this because it's really, really critical. Why do you want to give up sugar and flour? Because, you know, no sane person is going to be like, oh yeah, I want to give that up. No problem. You know, most of us need a good reason to give it up, right? Because it is addictive. So you really have to dig in. And what I have everyone do is just a journaling exercise of digging in another layer deeper. So for example, like, why do I want to give up sugar and flour? Because I want to lose weight. You know, a lot of people say that. Well, why do you want to lose weight? Well, I'm tired of clothes not fitting me, or I'd like to be more mobile for my kids, you know, and then, well, why? You just keep asking why until you really get to kind of that underlying root. And you'll be really amazed if you do this exercise. You think it might be, oh, I want to lose weight. But usually if you dig in a little deeper, you'll be really surprised at finding the underlying why. And that's really what you want to focus on and kind of have handy throughout this process. And then I also, you know, thinking about writing down how you feel when you're eating sugar, because it's hard to remember once you start feeling really good. I mean, I can still remember, but that's why I'm so glad and grateful that I wrote down every day in my journal for that first year. Because when I go back to some of those earlier entries, I've forgotten really how low I was feeling and how terrible I felt, you know, like it really brings it all back for me. And I'm like, yep, no, do not want to go back there. And it also puts things in perspective, because as I've said before, yeah, giving up sugar and flour is amazing, but it doesn't mean then that life is perfect, right? Like, I've had one of my most challenging years ever, but I can't even imagine going through some of this stuff that I am if I had also been addicted to sugar on top of it. So it does make life easier to manage in some ways, but by no ways does it make your life any easier. There's always going to be challenges and obstacles. That's just part of, you know, the human experience. But you'll have so much better tools in place to deal with some of this stuff than just eating, which for most addicts is just, that's what their reflex is. You know, when life gets hard, they eat about it. At least that was my experience. But then that just creates more pressure and problems on top of whatever made you eat in the first place, you know. Then you're also really beating yourself up and caught in that self-loathing cycle. So I do think it's really, really important to kind of remember why you're giving up sugar in the first place, and then reflect back on how it felt when you were caught in that cycle of just overeating, binging, and what it feels like now, like on the other side once you are there. So it's really good, I think, just to check in, and then also be really compassionate towards yourself. Like, there are going to be missteps along the way. This isn't, you know, about perfection. I love that podcast episode with Bitten Johnson, if you haven't listened to it, how it's about progress, not perfection. Because a lot of addicts, me included, I'm at the top of this list, I'm very all or nothing. And that went with my eating a lot. I was really, really good or really, really bad. It was like no in between. But it's really learning to be more more just understanding and loving ourselves more, being more patient with ourselves, and just understanding that it is a process and it's not about perfection. It's the progress, and it is a process. So we have to stop beating ourselves up. You know, that's not a way to stay motivated, at least for me, isn't like berating myself. Like, that doesn't really work for me. You know, you can probably think about a situation in your life where you either had a boss that was like treated you like, you know, yelled at you all the time, or I had a really bad coach in high school that she was just so, would berate me all the time, make fun of me, belittle me, to the point where I almost wanted to give up the sport that I ended up playing in college. And it just, that's not motivating for me. That does not work at all. So why would it work on ourselves? Like, why would we think that we can do that to ourselves and think that we're going to stay motivated? So that's another really big thing to think about. I think last month we kind of talked about treating yourself like you would treat a friend or your children or a loved one, talking to yourself the way you would talk to someone else. So again, we're usually the harder on ourselves than we would be on anyone else. So not just with the way, you know, paying attention to how we talk to ourselves, you know, but then also how are we trying to motivate ourselves? Is that by, like, you know, threatening ourselves or talking badly to ourselves? That's really not motivating for me at all. So I just want that to be something that you all think about this month and continue to work on. It's really hard to change some of that inner dialogue, and it's something that we really have to work towards and practice. You know, it's something 4 years later that I've gotten a lot better at, but I still catch myself sometimes, you know, and I'm like, nope, stop it. And I just replace it with a more positive thought. You know, I try to catch myself and change what I'm saying, right? So that really has helped me a lot, and being just a lot more compassionate with myself. Again, I have so much more patience and compassion for other people. Why can't I direct some of that towards myself? And so really treating yourself the way you want others to treat you. And I think, you know, it's kind of a tangent a little bit, but I've noticed as I've treated myself better, other people are treating me better too. I think when you start kind of putting that energy out there, it just spreads. So you might find that, you know, maybe people that didn't treat you as well, they're kind of starting to shift a little bit, seeing this change in you that really starts by how you treat yourself and what you kind of accept for yourself. So I really want you all to think about this month. That might be something really, really great to journal about. And just continue working on, like, how are we motivating ourselves as far as how we're talking to ourselves? And then for motivation for me too, not just my why or what it felt like, you know, before going off sugar and flour, you know, and kind of checking back on those earlier journal entries, but it's also really important for me to continue this connection and community. So again, I'm unusual and I don't recommend it. I did, you know, gave up sugar and flour on my own. But I felt connected because I was writing every day. I knew I'd eventually have this community, which I now have with this podcast, which is amazing. And I felt already, you know, some kind of connection or at least accountability, not wanting to let, you know, these people down. And that's another really great thing about my group coaching program is that accountability, you know, really knowing other people are depending on you and you're depending on them. But also if you fall, knowing that people are going to catch you. So it's really, I think connection and community is so, so critical, to overcoming addiction, but definitely for the motivation. So if I'm feeling kind of bleh, I can easily listen to a podcast episode. I can reach out to another, you know, coach or friend in this community. I can jump on a call and listen to, you know, someone's talking about, you know, their own story or experience. It's just like, I know if I start feeling connected, it really helps me kind of reaching out to this community. And there is a lot bigger, I feel like, community now than there was 4 years ago. So I have a lot of those resources on my website, but if you're, you know, if you are looking, if my program doesn't resonate with you, but you're looking for some kind of community, please still reach out to me. I just want you to have community and connection. It's okay if it's not, you know, you've got to find something that resonates with you. That's what's the most important thing, you know, like finding a way to make this work for you is what's going to make it sustainable. And finding that right fit for you. It is out there, and I would love to help you with that if you're not able to find it, and don't feel like it has to be my program. I just want to say that. And yeah, listening, like I think being inspired by others is a really good way to stay motivated. So for me, I love listening to other podcasts. I like to re-listen to some of the interviews I've done because I find the people on that I've interviewed are just so inspiring, and I always learn something new. And especially if I listen, you know, a second or even third time, I hear a lot more than, you know, I miss a lot that first time listening. But there's so many other podcasts out there now about sugar addiction or just other things that are inspiring. You know, it doesn't even have to be around nutrition and wellness at all. It can be, you know, people, other stories from people that have just overcome stuff that, you know, you find really inspiring. So, you know, find some kind of like podcast or, you know, YouTube clip, something that just feels really motivational and inspiring. I know a lot of people have, you know, kind of those clips that they can turn to, you know, even on social media, if you find, you know, follow someone that's really inspiring, you know. But of course you have to be careful with social media because that can be a real draining experience as well. But if there's someone that you follow that you feel is really positive and someone you can like kind of look at when you need that extra boost of motivation, I think that's terrific. I think inspiration is huge, however that is, you know. And really too, just kind of going back to keeping stress low, you know. I find for me that when I'm really stressed out, everything starts, that's a trigger for me, you know, where I might want to eat even though I'm not hungry, or think about a food I haven't thought about like in a while, or be a little more snappy or impatient just because, you know, that stress is there, or just feel like, I don't want to walk today, you know, I don't want to do my self-care today. Like, you know, it's easy to do that when you're feeling really stressed out. So I think managing our stress is so huge. And again, there's so many different ways to do that. So don't feel like you have to do it my way or your friend's way or your husband's way or your sister's way. Find whatever works for you to help keep your stress low. And, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, what does that even mean? You know, like life is just stressful. And that is true, I think. You know, for most of us, we're so busy and doing way too much in way too little time. But I think you can change your attitude around it, and that really helps, again, with the mindset and just being really aware of where you're putting your energy and making sure that you're taking time for yourself always too. Like, this is a really good, you know, I love when I'm kind of coaching myself when I'm talking here on the podcast, because that just really resonated with me. Here I am at the end of a 10-week or 10-day trip, and I am feeling really, really drained. So I'm going to make sure that I take, but as soon as I finish this episode, I'm going to go take my walk and do my exercises that I didn't have time to do all week. Because even though I'm tired, I know I'll feel a lot better when I do those things. You know, I don't get home until late tonight, so I probably won't take a bath tonight, but I sure will be taking a bath tomorrow night with a lot of Epsom salts and oils. So I know the things that I need to do to recover after a really stressful week. Like, I knew this week was going to be stressful and busy going into it. And there were stuff that I was trying to do on a daily basis, but then I also kind of have some recovery things that I know. Another one of those is being a massage. I have a massage scheduled for the end of this week because that's something that feels really good and just helps me like restore those, what's been depleted energy-wise. So that really helps keep my stress low. So I think really, really finding what works for you, whatever that might be. You know, for me, it's, you know, I do need to exercise every day, taking a walk outside. Okay, so again, Portland next week, or this week, the weather looks terrible, super, super rainy. But I will still try to get out with the umbrella and get, at least even if it's just like a little walk, even if I get soaked, getting that fresh air and exercise really, really helps me. And then, I don't know if I've talked, I think so, I'm loving the Betty Rocker little, I'm doing like her 90-day challenge right now. She has a lot of 30-day challenges too, but it's just like a videos you can watch on your phone. And it's like little 15-minute workouts. Like, that's all, I'm going to be honest, that I have time for. Like, if it's 15 minutes, I can do it. You know, it's like when it's like even 30 minutes some days, I'm like, I don't see where I'm going to squeeze that in. But something about being 15 to 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, like I can do that. So that's something, again, this week I had no, because I was working really long hours and running all over the place, I just didn't have the energy to then, you know, at the end of the night when I got back to my room, to even do a 15 to 20 minute workout. But I will get right back on track with that, you know, tomorrow when I'm back. I'm still pretty low energy today. So again, listening to your body, I'm going to do my walk and my other little every mother workout I do, which is really great for core. And then tomorrow I'll add back in the Betty Rocker too. So really listening to my body. But that really, really helps me kind of having that daily exercise. And a lot of times I don't get around to that until the kids are in bed. But I just do it right after they go to bed. I am not a morning worker outer either. If you're a morning worker outer, I don't think I'm saying that right, but if you like to work out in the morning, if you're coordinated in the morning, then you can get up early and do it too. It's 15, 20 minutes. Just make sure you get it in. Where for me, a lot of times that's a great way for me at the end of the day. I usually do it right after the kids go to bed because I'm a little tired then. And then it gives me that little energy boost to like do the rest of the things I need to do that night. And it's not, you know, too long that it takes that much time. So for me, again, I'm just talking about things that help keep my stress low overall, and exercise is a big part of that. And also just taking time every day to breathe. You know, there's some really good breathing apps out there, and I forget this when I get really frantic. And it's sometimes just making sure I take some time to do some breathing exercises. Again, that's almost an immediate way to lower stress in the moment. And I always think about these things as good things to model to our kids too, you know, so I try to do that as a teaching lesson for them, but it's really for me too. And I had this happen recently where I was like, oh, I'm feeling really stressed out. I think I'm going to take a minute and do some breathing. Is that okay? And I kind of like could stop them, and they're just kind of looking at me probably like I'm crazy. But I thought, I hope that kind of sticks with them, that that is something that they can do. And I just kind of modeled that for them, and it was good for me and a good lesson for them as well. But again, it's one of those things, if you don't practice it, it's hard to remember to do that in the moment. So it is something I'm not always doing in the moment. And really doing my meditations. It's another thing that I was getting up, you know, super early and working 15 or 16 hour days a couple days in a row. So I wasn't able to get up even earlier and do my meditation. But, you know, the last few days I have, and I just feel so much more balanced. And there's so many different meditations out there. I love Calm and doing the daily Calm because I just feel like there's always a message that really resonates with me. But do whatever works for you, even if it's just setting your alarm for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just breathing in and out and trying to clear your mind or just, you know, notice what thoughts are coming up. I find that really helpful and calming. And the days that I can start my day with a meditation, I just feel so much better. And that kind of leads into, I know you've heard all this before, but really having those daily routines. I have a morning kind of ritual, an evening ritual, where I feel so much better when I do all these things. And, you know, doing the meditation in the morning, and then I usually like to do some kind of tapping. That's another thing that I didn't get to do all week, but there's such great tapping exercises. I use the Tapping Solution app. But again, you don't even need an app for tapping. Once you learn to do it, you can just do it yourself. But they have such good ones on stress, and I like all their different topics. And they have some that are really fast, like instant stress relief kind of stuff. So again, when I can remember, I will do that, take a time out and do that in the day. But I try to do it as part of my daily morning ritual so that it's more accessible to me in those times of high stress, because I've practiced it and made it more of a habit, you know, because then in that heat of the moment, I can say, ooh, tapping, you know. I also like to do so the meditation, the tapping, the breath work. And then I've been really into the Ho'oponopono, which I know I've talked about before, you know, the Hawaiian prayer that is basically just, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And just kind of saying that over and over again for me is really soothing. And just finding music too that is soothing and calming really helps me. And then the daily affirmations, that's like the last big part of my morning. I have a whole list now. You know, I was talking, I think, about that book, Coffee Self-Talk. And this, again, is a way to start changing the way we talk to ourselves and kind of writing affirmations. I keep them as a notes page in my phone. And in that book, she suggests doing them with your morning cup of coffee. You know, I don't drink coffee, but I have already kind of was in an affirmation habit where I would use I love the Joy blend of the Young Living essential oils. I use Joy, put a little bit on my heart every morning, and then smell it on my fingertips. And I just go through my list of affirmations. Before it was in my head, but now I've pretty lengthy. It probably takes about 5 minutes to read them all. So I have them on my notes phone and I just go over them and say them out loud, you know, to make sure I give them a little more power. I say them out loud with like that conviction, you know, breathing in and out in between. And again, just a really good way to start the day. And I find that helps me handle stress better throughout the day. And affirmations are in general, you know, a great way to stay motivated. And you can Google, I mean, there are so many different affirmation sites. I love I Am, it's called. It's an app. I just have the free version, and it gives me a few affirmations throughout the day. And again, it's almost like creepy how spot on they are, kind of like the Daily Calm. I'm like, really spot on what I have to hear. But again, there's so many, you know, different affirmations out there. Find ones that really resonate with you. Write them down in a notebook or put them on a notes page in your phone and just look at them every day, or even just when you need them in a moment, you know, and have something that's like immediate to calm you down. For me, just saying I am safe, all is well. And here I am, like, you can't see me, but I'm kind of slapping my chest right on my collarbones. I kind of always do that. Which is tapping, you know, part of tapping is that area of the collarbones. But I just say, you know, I am safe, all is well. I am safe, all is well. And I'll just say that over and over until I calm down. I've noticed if there's days that I wake up with a little bit of anxiety, right away, I am safe, all is well, and I feel a lot better. So maybe having some, you know, go-to affirmations on hand that you can just say, not just to help with stress, but to help with motivation as well. You know, even if it's, I am healing, you know, whatever feels really, really good and powerful for you. You know, a lot of my affirmations talk about, you know, how I eat healthy, as a way, you know, to keep my body really healthy and my mind really healthy, all that kind of thing. So whatever feels motivating for you, I think affirmations are an amazing way to not only help how we're talking to ourselves, you know, putting out there these really positive vibes, but also really can be very motivating and inspiring as well. So take some time this month to kind of write down maybe some affirmations that are very, very meaningful for you. And it doesn't have to be 5 minutes in the day. You might be like, Siobhan, I don't have time for that. I get it. My list has kind of grown. You know, before it was something that I maybe did for like 30 seconds in my head. But now it's kind of grown, and I get it feels so good saying them out loud. You know, one of them is, I'm going to make the rest of my life the best of my life. And I get kind of like really into it. So, you know, maybe do some work this month along that and find things that feel really motivational for you. Or even just keeping a list of, you know, I love making lists. Obviously, you can probably learn that about me now, but, you know, what motivates me kind of list, and just take some time to journal about that and think about it. So when you are in those slumps, because we all have them, that's the other thing. Don't beat yourself up. Like, feeling unmotivated is totally normal. So we're all going to go through that time to time. And then what do we do to kind of fix that in the moment, kind of have that repair? So if you have a list of things, and for me, the other big thing is just tightening up my food. You know, it's just like the times that I feel like I want to eat more is like a red flag that I need to tighten things up even more. So I might be even just more cautious about what I'm eating, and really, really being on top of that, making sure that I don't have something that's triggering me. And then tightening up that exercise and my morning and evening rituals. And the evening ritual leads to the other thing that I think is so important for staying motivated, is just getting a good night's sleep. It's really hard to stay motivated when you're stressed out and when you're not sleeping well. And I know there's so many people that have issues with sleep, and this is something that helps so much. I mean, I know for me, the difference that I can feel between getting a good night's sleep and not sleeping that well, it's like night and day. I mean, it's crazy how much better I feel if I can sleep through the night. And so I really, really prioritize my sleep and have a whole evening ritual of, you know, I've talked about this a lot of times, but, you know, making sure my phone or electronics are off by 9. Again, sometimes it's not perfect, but for the most part, I try to do that. And then I'm reading in that last hour. You know, that really helps me get tired and go to sleep. Or I'm journaling. Sometimes I take a bath and do a face mask. Always do my skincare routine. I try to brush my teeth with like really being present and like sending my teeth and gums some love. You know, stuff that like sometimes we rush through. Instead, I try to slow down and be really present. And just feel like I'm really nourishing my body with these things. So I think that's really important. And then, you know, getting that good night's sleep is going to help you stay motivated, because you're just going to be feeling your best and have a little more energy. It's really hard when we feel low energy. So these are all the things that kind of motivate me, and really hearing other stories, you know, looking to other people for inspiration, and really just celebrating the progress that I've already made. You know, again, sometimes I can be so hard on myself, I forget to celebrate. Yeah, you're 4 years sugar and flour free. Like, that's amazing. And really looking how far I've come along this journey, because it is a journey and there's always going to be ups and downs. It's not going to be perfect. And really just kind of accepting that, and realizing when I'm in a slump that it is going to go back up, and knowing, okay, these are the things that are going to make me feel better. So really getting kind of a list together of those things, I think, would be really, really helpful for you. So I think that's pretty much it for today. If you have any other want to share, please, you know, share with me on social media, or
email me. Let me know what you find to be motivating, what helps you stay motivated. I do find, though, really, as far as the eating goes, once I was able to abstain completely, you know, that has, I really don't need much motivation around eating this way because I feel so amazing, so much more than I did before, you know. So that's not even much of a factor anymore. When something does come up, if I have a craving, I can easily use my mantra of, I don't do that anymore. I just don't. But I rarely even need to use that anymore because I just feel so much better. And I keep that feeling of gratitude really close to me. So I think gratitude might be, you know, a thing that we've talked about a lot on the podcast as well. But another really good motivator, if you can start really looking at the things that to be grateful for and the things that are going well in your life when there are things that aren't going well, it can really just, again, help shift that mindset to one of more positivity and know, yeah, even though things are hard right now, there are still things that are really, really good. I do still have a lot of blessings in my life and trying to focus on those good things as well. So I hope this has been helpful for you all. Can't wait to have Danielle on next week. So tune in and don't forget about the Breaking Free program. Kind of last call for that. If you want to sign up, please reach out to me. And I'd love to have you on this Friday's First Friday call if that sounds good as well. Talk to you soon, everyone. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.